Hello, this is John Robles. I'm speaking with Mr. Rick Rozoff, the manager of the Stop NATO website and mailing list, a contributing writer to globalresearch.ca, and a regular contributor to The Voice of Russia. Hello, Rick. How are you today?
Very good, John. And you?
Very well, thank you. Mikhail Saakashvili. Some have called him NATO's favorite despot.
I think that's an accurate characterization of Mr. Saakashvili, yes.
He made some statements that the Russian Empire is about to collapse.
Yeah, he's been making statements along that line for a couple of weeks, maybe longer. You know, it's a repeated leitmotif for Mr. Saakashvili that the empire, I take it that's a borrowing from a person he no doubt admired greatly, Ronald Reagan, and his 30 years ago, his reference to the former Soviet Union as being the evil empire. I imagine Saakashvili knows what sort of terminology to use to be picked up in the West. But yesterday he made what are, quite characteristic comments, but were they to be made by any other head of state, they would certainly raise a few eyebrows around the world, but not when it comes to Mr. Saakashvili. For example, speaking again about Russia was now, and I quote him, quote, like crazy, because Georgia not only survived the war it provoked with South Ossetia and Russia in August of 2008. Since he came into power on the back of the so-called Rose Revolution in 2003, Mr. Saakashvili, U.S. educated, incidentally, Columbia graduate, is, clearly modeled himself after a medieval Georgian monarch, one David the Builder. And in his speech yesterday, Saakashvili evoked once again King David and Queen Tamar. But then at another point, referring to Russia, and I'm quoting this from Civil Georgia, an English language website from The Nation. Mm-hmm. It says, in Georgia's political reality, political vampires, mummies, and various monsters will not be able to return, and so forth. So this sort of lunatic verbiage is what we've come to expect from Mr. Saakashvili, notwithstanding which, however, he remains, as I mentioned, the pet despot of NATO countries and their political darling outside the Euro-Atlantic area.
Why?
He serves our purposes. He and his regime have recently authorized the deployment of another large military unit of Georgian troops to Afghanistan to serve under NATO's International Security Assistance Force. When they arrive to join their cohorts already there, the Georgian troop contingent in Afghanistan will be the largest of any non-full NATO member, exceeding even the 1,550 troops that Australia currently has in Afghanistan. So they're providing cannon fodder.
About how many troops are there from Georgia?
It'll be over 1,600.
Just a reminder, you're listening to an interview with Mr. Rick Rozoff. Back to Afghanistan. Can you fill us in also, about this scandal with the Marines and the trophy video?
For those of us who have seen it, I assume you have, and I regret that I have. It is, I don't even know the proper adjectives to use in a case like this, appalling, repugnant, but also, I'm afraid, reflective of the attitude of the 21st century new colonial troops that NATO has deployed to, in the Balkans and South Asia and so forth, and U.S. Military forces around the world who evidently believe they can commit any kind of not only gruesome but degrading, act of any sort, an ultimate insult to the nation, of course, which they're occupying with impunity. Because there's no force big enough to make them pay the consequences of those sort of actions. You're, of course, referring to a video that's gone around the world of four, what are identified as four U.S. Marines in Afghanistan, joking while the four of them urinate on the corpses of what are identified as dead Taliban fighters. Heaven knows who they truly were. But to commit an action like that is appalling to a degree unimaginable. And the soldiers, of course, are treating this as all good fun, the U.S. Marines. And it's part of a series of similar behaviors, including cutting off body parts as trophies and such like, in the name of spreading civilization and democracy to Afghanistan.
Do you think maybe this was orchestrated?
I was just saying that anyone who's killed in Afghanistan or on the other side of the border in Pakistan is automatically referred to not only by U.S. and NATO officials, but by their ever-obedient mass media in the West as being Taliban or Al-Qaeda. They could simply be militiamen. They could be people fighting to defend their country against foreign occupation. But on the broader question of whether the timing is of the release of these videos, one can never rule out in the world of psyops and black ops that provocative material is released or permitted to be released at a given period with an ulterior motive.
Anyone who's fighting against the United States is actually some sort of weird terrorist, even if they're defending their own country.
Right, that could be like Serbian women in northern Kosovo who are...
Sure,
you know,
terrorists.
Yeah, they're terrorists for, you know, opposing NATO actions to deprive them of what's left of their homeland.
It Iranians,
be,
terrorists.
Libyans defending their country.
Terrorists.
Against bombing.
They're all terrorists. Okay,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Evidently, anyone with any shred of dignity, self-respect, and national pride that refuses
terrorists.
To have... Yeah, or terrorists.
Can you give our listeners a rundown? What's the real situation there on the ground? And
there may be a sincere desire by the United States to extricate itself from Afghanistan by making whatever deal they have to cut, even with their alleged adversaries, or their, you know, adversaries of the last decade. You know, militarily, it's gone catastrophically for the U.S. and NATO. That's the longest war in America's history.
After 10 years, what are they leaving behind?
Devastation. Dislocation, hundreds of thousands of Afghans forced to flee their towns and villages, heaven knows what sort of unexploded ordnance, depleted uranium, and so forth, have been strewn throughout the country in the past 10 years. Certainly nothing good. Oh, and heroin, opium cultivation epidemic, of course.
What about the thousands of men in prison in Afghanistan accused of being terrorists, being detained indefinitely without charges?
I mean, far from closing down the torture chambers in Guantanamo Bay or in Bagram in Afghanistan and so forth, as you're alluding to, the U.S. government now, the White House, has officially signed off on the Defense Authorization Act that would permit the internment of U.S. citizens under basically martial law conditions, military trials without recourse or access to, you know, the standard legal protection. That
I talk a lot about against NATO. You do too. Could we be called terrorists?
You know, that's probably more serious a question than we both realize at the moment.
So, I mean, we should really be afraid that we could be picked up and taken to Guantanamo tomorrow.
Technically speaking, even American citizens residing in the United States might be susceptible to that sort of treatment.
Okay, Rick, thanks a lot. It's been, maybe I've been too provocative today, but thanks for speaking.
You can never be provocative enough.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
This is John Robles. You were listening to an interview with Mr. Rick Rozoff, the manager of the Stop NATO website and mailing list and a contributing writer to globalresearch.ca.